CDX, the show about business, technology, and creativity in the Bridge City. I'm Haley Platt, and today's guests are Suzanne Stevens and Malia Spencer from the Portland Business Journal. Welcome, ladies.
Thanks, Haley. Great to be here.
Yeah, I'm so glad you're both here. We're going to do kind of a ping pong situation here today, but I want to start with you, Suzanne. You've been with Portland Business Journal for about 7 years.
Yes.
I'd like to talk to you about how the journal has changed and evolved right alongside how Portland has changed and evolved.
Yeah, absolutely. So the Portland Business Journal has been around for 33 years. So it's been through a lot of kind of economic cycles, reporting on it. So it's been really interesting to kind of look back through that history. Mm-hmm. But certainly in just the time that I've been here, it's been an amazing amount of change. Mm-hmm. I moved here right in the heart of the recession. Can't believe I found a job in media during the recession, but was very fortunate to land at the Business Journal. At the time, we were just starting to blog, and we had had a web presence, but we're really trying to build that up, and I was kind of hired in that capacity as a web editor. I've been the editor for about the last 3 years. At the time, we covered technology, kind of adjacent to a lot of other of old school kind of legacy business journal beats, like, you know, banking and law and some of these things that for years kind of carried business journals across the country. Mm-hmm. But tech was changing, you know, fast. You had kind of the hardware that was already here with Intel and Mentor Graphics, Tektronix, and all of that. But we knew that we needed to kind of focus on it and go full time with a technology reporter. Right. And that's when we brought Malia out here to really focus full time on technology, which is all that she covers. So obviously we have reported, and Malia's done a fantastic job of covering the birth of this software industry. It's certainly been around.
Right.
I mean, no doubt about it. Mentor Graphics is a software company. But this kind of startup scene, the vibrancy, the energy around it, the venture capital, the attention, the reputation rising, we've been reporting on that for a long time. It's been fascinating to watch.
Okay, so Malia, I want to talk to you about, you know, you've been writing about all things tech, really, for about roughly the same time that Suzanne's been at Portland Business Journal, seven years. Mm-hmm. I want to talk to you about specifically Portland. If you're looking specifically at the Portland tech community, what are some of the changes that you've seen since your time here?
So before I got to Portland, I was actually covering technology at our sister paper in Pittsburgh. Okay. So I got to see that sort of tech scene evolving as it was kind of starting to grow and make its name. And then I got here, and it was really interesting to get here when I did, because there was this group of software companies that everybody was watching really closely to see the next one to really kind of break out and make a big name for Portland. And so just in the time that I've got here, it's been interesting just to watch those companies continue to grow, that kind of, you know, like Puppet and Elemental and their big acquisition, Acton and Jan Rain and JAMA. And they've all had different transitions in the last year or so with their leadership, just kind of setting themselves up for their next sort of phase. So that's been really interesting. And then just to sort of see this just growing software community continue to go here. And then it's also kind of gotten a little bit broader too, in terms of, like, there's, you know, video game companies in town and small studios, and there's this whole indie game community here that's really vibrant. And then also stuff like we just covered earlier this year, there's a growing fintech scene, so financial technology companies, you know, and that is also, those companies are also starting to kind of put Portland on a map in a different way. So that's just all been really interesting to kind of watch and see all that grow. And it's just got this energy that's just really fun to cover and to watch.
So we talked a bit about some of the changes that have happened over the last, you know, decade or so. What about changes to come? Are either of you seeing any new and emerging trends? Are we seeing some changes or evidence of those changes already?
One thing that's really interesting to watch in Portland that could be unique to Portland, and if they make it work, it can be a real big deal, but it's a real big if, is everything surrounding diversity. The tech community here has been at least trying to be more self-aware, and there's a group of CEOs that have all signed on to this pledge, and, you know, part of that is they're supposed to have these different things holding them accountable. They're supposed to have the trainings for their staff, and then just really be sort of focused on how to make sure the community continues to be open to everybody. And so I think that the work there, if Portland can figure it out, because obviously other communities are trying to figure out it too, but maybe the fact that we are so accessible and friendly and everybody knows each other, maybe that'll be something that'll kind of help make that happen.
Right. Yeah. But so I guess the next question is, what do you think will be the most exciting thing to come to Portland in the tech space in the next 6 months or year or 2 years?
I'll jump in because we were talking about this on the way over, and there's so many exciting innovation that's happening here. And Malia mentioned some of it with like the gaming, right. You know, the
Which
indie
I
game
didn't even
scene.
Know that was even existing yeah. here. That's mm-hmm. so
I mean,
cool.
We wrote a story about that a year ago, and maybe it's even been more than a year
no,
ago.
A year ago.
Yeah, and it's but you're fine. It's a similar pattern that we've seen with other technology companies where people want to live here, and so a lot of the companies that Malia interviewed. You know, or the individuals that she interviewed that story were in the Bay Area or in, you know, other more expensive areas, New York, where they just couldn't have the quality of life that they had. But, and they chose to come out here. And from that now, this cluster, little mini cluster, mm-hmm. is kind of taking root.
Kind of leads me to my next question. What is it that is so interesting to you about the business and tech industry? Like, you know, to have that passion where you're writing about it every day. Mm-hmm. What's that about for you?
Well, I got into covering tech like I said, when I was out at our Pittsburgh paper, and I got to cover a lot of real small startups that were doing real cool things, and you know, researchers at Carnegie Mellon University that were working on just mind-blowing stuff. And I just really got bit by the bug of watching people build something, and they were so passionate for what they're building. Like, you talk to an entrepreneur and you come away and you're like, yeah, they're gonna totally make it, because I mean, they are so excited about it. And it's infectious,
right.
basically. And so I just really enjoyed watching people build things and seeing what could happen, and then seeing what happens when it goes wrong, because it goes wrong a lot.
Sure.
And you know, just kind of watching how people can pick up and then figure it out and you know, go in a different direction. And I just find that really, really fascinating. I think partly because I could never do that myself. I do not have the risk tolerance to be an entrepreneur or to, you know, start a tech company. But it's real fun to watch other people do it.
And to follow them on that journey mm-hmm. and kind of go along for the ride. That's
exactly
pretty cool. Well, and so Suzanne, what about you? What's the subject matter that's personally most intriguing to you in your work?
So I think what's been fantastic to me, I could never pick one industry. I pretty much read everything that we write. I think it's as a journalist, and I've spent my whole career in journalism, is to have the ability to do really in-depth stories. You know, we're churning out, you know, 15, 20 stories for the web every day. Most of that content is free. But I always tell reporters, if we're trying to hire someone, or just internally, we talk about it a lot, it's pretty rare in journalism that you get 5 weeks to work on a story and a cover story, because we print, you know, we have 5 full-time reporters, we print every Friday our print edition, and to be able to spend time to really dive deep into a topic that you really know because that's all you cover is, it's just becoming too rare, but it's so important.
Right.
And, you know, since I've been here, our circulation continues to grow. That is just mind-blowing. If you're in the industry, our print circulation continues to grow. Our web traffic is off the charts. And so I just feel so lucky to be to have the opportunity to work here right now when Portland is at such an exciting phase.
Right. Well, and I think, I mean, I had another thought when you said that. It's, you know, people don't always get their paper from an actual paper
right.
anymore. So what's that been like for you to sort of watch everything go to online, everybody with their mobile phone? Like,
yeah.
How are you guys staying on top of that
that's a great question.
That.
I mean, it's been hard, and I think we see that every city.
Sure.
You know, there's challenges for print media, but we don't. You know, I talk about our print edition. Of course, all of that is online. We have free content, and then we have premium content. That's
right.
kind of how we look, and you can get it however you want it.
Right.
Right now, a lot of people still like getting a paper.
Right.
And I'm one of those people.
I'm one of those people.
In that generation,
yeah.
for sure. I really, really do enjoy it. But it's not for everybody. So all of our content is available across media. We have the luxury of only printing once a week.
Right.
Okay. So that makes it a lot easier from a financial standpoint to be able to, you know, do what we do. We're hyper-local, you know. We're part of a chain that has 43 papers across the country, but we are the Portland Business Journal. We only report on Portland. We only report on business. So we have, you know, a very specific lens through which we look when we're reporting on our stories. And when you can narrow things down, it's much more interesting for people than when you're casting that wide net.
Right.
We have a number, I'm sure a lot of people watching get our newsletters, our email newsletters. It would be crazy if we didn't mention Tech Flash, which is what Malia, the best of all of our newsletters, you know, pretty much all of our industries that we cover, we have some kind of newsletter. We have a morning newsletter and an afternoon newsletter that go out every day. Those are filled with free content. And then Tech Flash goes out on Mondays and Wednesdays at about 1:30 every day. And now Malia's writing every day for the web. She's probably one of our most prolific writers, you know, probably three stories every day for the web, plus what she's writing for print. And all of that stuff ends up in the newsletter. So it's a nice way to deliver everything. It's
There's
not
something
novel
for everybody, though. I mean, really. You can, so the Portland Business Journal has figured out how to get everybody the news that they need to get.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things that we don't report that we want to. You know, always like, you know, we don't really have anybody that's covering this issue specifically. Right. So it's a challenge at times. So we only have five reporters, but I am blown away. And pretty much when I tell people we have five full-time reporters, they're like, no way.
Yeah,
the amount of content that we churn out. I mean, every reporter doing 2 to 3 stories a day for the web and actually enjoying it. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have a pretty happy, you know, we go after stories. We don't want to get beat. We want to be aggressive. We want to be the first with things. We want to break news for sure. There's so much teamwork and collegiality in our newsroom that I think that's why we're able to do as much as we do. Otherwise, we'd all just hate it and just be like, you know, go home angry every night.
Which is actually, I mean, I tell when I talk to entrepreneurs and stuff is that, I mean, I feel like the paper, we kind of run like a startup. I mean, we're not huge. We're pretty small. Everybody wears lots of hats and everybody's always helping each other out. And so there's also, I think, that level maybe of understanding as well when I go out and cover these real small companies and understand how this all works.
Well, the mutual respect, I think. Well, that's a good point. Malia and Suzanne, thanks so much for being here today and sharing your thoughts with me.
Thanks so much.
It's been great.
It's been great.
Thanks. And that concludes this episode of Output PDX. We'll see you next time.